ליקוטי מוהר"ן, תורה כ"א. ליקוטי מוהר"ן, תורה כ"א. פרק ד' in the second part. It's in page 58. ליקוטי מוהר"ן, תורה כ"א. Part Dalet, paragraph Dalet, second part, Veda. And we should all know Sheze Ikar Koach HaBchira, that this is the main power of free choice. And we need to understand about free choice that this is the reason why Borei Olam created the world. Borei Olam created the world that we're going to have a free choice. This is the biggest wonder of all of the details of the creation, is that Borei Olam gave human being the power to do against his will. No one in the creation is doing against God's will. The animals, none of the creatures can do against God's will. Only Am Yisrael. Only human beings. Goyim are being controlled. And look, it's very deep thing to understand. Actually also nature and also the supervision of Hashem Yitbarach, it's two ways of supervision. Also nature, the numeral value of the word Hateva, the nature, it's numeral value of Elohim. It's Hashem. Everything is Hashem. Like we learned in this Torah, is that we cannot understand it. And this is actually the power of that free choice, and soon Rabbeinu going to explain that in that part. But actually, that wisdom of someone have tissue, please, small part. Thank you. So that power that Borei, I think that he's using it for the, I don't know.
I used it between the table this morning.
It's not.
Sorry, I didn't know. I had a bedroom obligation.
So, this is the biggest wonder of them all. If the person is conquered that, if a person find the power to control that power that Borei Olam gave us of the free choice, this is when you become to be a real tzaddik. That you're doing only the will of Hashem, that you're not sinning, like that we learned in the Gemara Shiur, that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said that he never enjoyed from this world, even in his smallest finger, never enjoyed this world. He was controlling himself so much, he decided on every act and act, every action, he decided if to do that or not. Like Rav Shalom said, that a person is not allowed to move, even the smallest movement, if it's not going to satisfy the will of Hashem Yitbarach, Hashem Yitbarach. We're doing everything for Hashem Yitbarach. So, us, we lost the will. We lost the control on our vehicle. The guest that once came to visit, he is hosting us now. He controls the house now. He doesn't let us in. He's throwing us out. This is our guest. But this is our job, to take back the control. One of the main tefillot that we're doing on guarding our eyes is, Borei Olam, bring me the power, give me back the power to control my eyes, that I'm not going to go like a drunk person wandering with my eyes outside, not controlling our eyes. We need to control our eyes. You're going to decide on what you're going to look, on what you're not going
to
look.
That's
what
happened to me. Chas v'shalom. You're halfway there.
Chas v'shalom. Veda, and we should all know Sheze Ikar Koach HaBchira, that this is the main power of free choice. Kol Zman, while Shehasechel, that the wisdom, that the brain of the person, En Kol Kach Gadol, is not so huge, not so large, Lehavin, to understand HaYedi'a VeHaBchira, to understand the knowledge and the free choice. We have two kind of important wisdoms of observing observation on this world. One is to know, this is that knowledge that Rabbeinu was talking about, a yediah, that what? that en od milvado, that there is nothing except of Hashem Yitbarach, that Hashem done and doing and gonna do all of the actions. Whose actions? His actions, for sure that he's doing his actions. He controls at himself. He doesn't have our problems. The fact that we're saying Ribon al kol ha'maasim, it's on our actions. So Borolam, his control on each and every one of us and the nation's actions. In 100%. This is one observation. And the second, and it's all good for sure, because it's Hashem, so it's all good. And the second one, it's that free choice. That we, each and every one of us, have a free choice and we can choose and we're deciding what to do ourselves. And Borei Olam, he's letting us choose. So it's hard because those two ways of thinking, it's contradict each other. They contradict each other. If Hashem is doing everything, so how can I choose? And if I'm choosing, so how can it be that Hashem done that? Why I won't blame myself on my sins, on my mistakes? How can I accept that the fact that Hashem done that? I was doing it. I had the free choice. So.
But what are we talking about religious things, Jewish, like, you know, right?
What?
Not work and things, just really only from a philosophy, right?
On what? On what?
On the free choice.
The free choice? Rav Shalom, if you remember, I said that pshat, and then Rav Shalom said that he heard that pshat from who he said that. I don't remember the tzaddik. But he said a pshat. I told you that I heard it from a rabbi in the yeshiva, Esha Torah, that he teached from Nefesh HaChaim, but I'm not sure that he read it from Nefesh HaChaim. And then Rav Shalom said that pshat from a different source, that I also don't remember that source. And he said a wonderful pshat, an amazing pshat on that. That Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi'irat shamayim. Everything is in the hands of Hashem Yitbarach, except of irat shamayim. So usually people understand that everything depends in Hashem, except of irat shamayim, that you're going to choose if you're going to have irat shamayim or not. Of course that by our shita, the Breslev shita, the truth, the real Shita, it cannot stand. How can it be? What, Hashem is not giving the Yirat Shamayim? So it's hard. It's a very hard pshat. It's comfortable to the people that are chasing themselves and hate themselves all of the time and blaming themselves. So it's easy for them to understand that the reason that I don't have Yirat Shamayim, it's because of myself. Okay. But it's a Yetzer Hara's idea. It's not a real pshat. The real pshat have to give you a power, strength, to serve Hashem Yitbarach, not to break your spirit. So Rav Shalom said a different pshat on that, and he said that everything is in the hands of heaven to give you or not to give you when you're praying on it, except of Yirat Shamayim, that when you're praying on it, so Borei Olam is obligated to give it to you. He have to give it to you. So everything is in the hands of Hashem Yitbarach. If you're davening for boys, if you're davening for a house, Hashem gonna decide if you're worthy or not. But if you're davening on Yirat Shamayim, it doesn't matter in which level you're holding, but all I'm going to give it to you. So this is something that we should take, that lesson. Daven on Yirat Shamayim. You lack of Yirat Shamayim. Great, daven on that. You don't have the will to daven, to learn Torah all day long. Alright, daven on that. If you're going to daven on that, for sure you're going to get that. You have that promise. You have that chizuk. So now you need to ask yourself if you want to daven on that. Because if you're gonna daven on that, you're gonna be trapped. What are you gonna do then? No excuse. Just think now if you want to daven on that or not. So, Rabbeinu explained on the free choice, on that power of free choice, that the main power of free choice, it's while that the wisdom is not so large, not that you're not that wise, to understand the fact that we have two kinds of supervision. One is that everything is coming from Hashem, and the second one is that you have a free choice. When you cannot understand that, this is the time that you can work with your free will. Now you can choose. But if you would understand how can it be that Hashem is doing everything and also you have a free choice, this is the moment that you cancel your free choice. Now you don't have a free choice anymore. The free choice is only when you don't know. I give that example a lot of times, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was receiving the holy tablets from Borei Olam, and then he chose to break them. It's a decision. It's a decision that he took. Think about the other option. What could have been if it was wrong? If it was a wrong decision? If he was wrong, Borei Olam didn't commit, told him to break the tablets. He chose that. He took that decision from his free choice. Think about the chance that he took. How much risk he had in that. And on that, Borei Olam told him, Yashar kochacha sheshibarta. He was praising him that he was doing the right thing. The person, he needs to believe in himself. We all need to believe in ourselves inside, that I want to serve Hashem Yitbarach. And now, in a situation of darkness, that you don't know what to do, you have to choose. And here, Borei Olam is looking. And the truth is, that the truth is going to reveal in your decision. If your will is really to serve Hashem Yitbarach, in that darkness you're going to choose the truth. But if your real will is to run after this world, in that darkness you're going to choose wrong. You're going to reveal what?
In the moment of
free choice, that it's coming when you lack of wisdom. When you don't know what to do. I have to go to work and I have to learn Torah and I don't know what to do. This is where Borei Olam is checking you. What is your real will? Because now in that situation you're going to choose. And you're going to choose from your inner power. What that is more strong inside of you, this is going to be the thing that you're going to choose in the end. You're choosing your free choice because you don't grasp that wisdom together. You don't understand how can it be. En od milvado, so I can learn in the yeshiva all day long. If Hashem controls on everything, I can go to the yeshiva without working and Hashem gonna give me my panasa. But you don't have that wisdom yet. This is why you're not coming every day to the yeshiva, or you are afraid you're coming but you're suffering so much every time that you're coming. So why? Because you don't have that wisdom in a complete way. So now you're choosing. You're choosing what? The mitzvah is uvacharta b'chaim. You have to choose right. But you don't know what is right and what is wrong. Because you're in darkness, because you're not that wise.
Is that where the choice is? To accept that?
First of all, Arav Shalom gave a solution, like you said. Arav Shalom gave a very nice and comfortable solution. How to survive with those two very heavy wisdoms that we contain. One is that there is enod milvado, there is nothing except of Hashem. How I'm going to hold it? You're going to know that on your history, this is the reality. Everything that happened to me, it's all from Hashem. But on the future, this is where Rav Shalom said, now you should use that other wisdom to say that I have the free choice. But then, and you're going to choose, and you have the responsibility to choose right. But after action, you're going to look back on what that you just now done with your free choice, and you have to say on that it's all from Hashem. Hashem done that. I have a free choice when I'm looking forward, but when I'm looking to the back, this is the time that Hashem done it all. So it's a certain trick how to use those two wisdoms, but it's not what that we're talking about. We're talking about the power of free choice. The power of free choice, Rabbeinu is explaining here, is only when you lack of that knowledge of how to know how to get along with those two wisdoms. Only when you lack of advice, only when you don't know what to do, this is the time of the free choice. This is the time that you're going to choose. Because if you know that this thing is wrong and this thing is good, you're not choosing. It's not hard for you. For a person that for him to keep Shabbos, it's something that they taught him from his first days. For him, it's not a test to keep Shabbos. His gain on that Shabbos that he's guarding, that he's keeping, is not that huge like you, that you have a war on that Shabbos. That you're thinking, what I'm going to do? My wife, she wants to drive in Shabbos. She wants to go to her parents in Shabbos. Everyone with his Yetzara, with his wars. If you have Shlom Bayit that is standing against Shabbos, and now you need to say, what I'm going to do? Shabbos or my Shlom Bayit? What I'm going to do? Shlom Bayit or Taharat HaMishpacha? What I'm going to do? The wife, she doesn't want to go to the mikveh. Now his house can break Chas Shalom to parts because that he wants his wife to go to the mikveh. What are you going to do? This is the time that you are being checked on your will inside, because now you're going to use that free choice. And the free choice, this is my chidush that I'm trying to tell you, is that the free choice really going to reveal your inner pnimiyut, your inner side, who that you really are, where the place that you're holding. Because now that you don't know, and sometimes et la'asot la'Hashem eferu toratecha, sometimes if you want to serve Hashem, you have to break the rules. Sometimes, you, like the Gemara is saying, mutav lechalel shabbat achat, ma'asher lechalel shabbatot arbe. It's better to break one Shabbos than to break a lot of Shabbos after it. Now you see that there is a certain situation that you need to break Shabbos. The Gemara used that example. We don't need to be afraid to use that example. The Gemara used that example to break Shabbos, that it's the most strict thing, most important thing. Now you have to break Shabbos for Shlom Bayit, for a crazy situation that only Baal Teshuva can find themselves in. Very weird situation, like I found myself, Baruch Hashem, in. And you find yourself that you want to keep Shabbos, that you don't want to break Shabbos, and that you have to break Shabbos. What are you going to do now? What are you going to decide? So a person in that situation, he's going to show what his real will is, and what is the level of his faith. I'm going to give you examples on that. If now, for an example, a person going to say, alright, this is the time. Let's take that example of Taharat HaMishpacha. The woman, she doesn't want to go to the mikveh, Chas V'Shalom. And the husband, he wants to go to the mikveh. The wife going to go to the mikveh. And he doesn't plan to be with her until she's going to go to the mikveh. What he going to do? What he going to do? So after that shiur, he going to say, alright, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging me, he's checking me now, what I'm going to decide. So I'm going to decide that she gonna go to the mikveh, that I'm not gonna be with her until she's gonna go to the mikveh. I want the Torah. I want the Torah. This I'm choosing Hashem Yitbarach. But Hashem erased his name for the peace. What you gonna do now? You ruin a house in Israel. You need to choose davening. You need to choose Hashem. We're not allowed to choose by our own wisdoms, because you can fall. Because you have desires, you're full of desires. And you can be in a situation that now you have a desire for the Torah. You have a desire to be a tzaddik. You have such a strong fear, anxiety from your past, from your avonot, from your sins, that no, you have to do tshuva. But you're under stress. You're in a situation that you're not thinking right. So now you're choosing Shabbos. In the end, you're not going to choose Shabbos. You're just going to be divorced. You're not going to have a house. Your kids going to live and going to be chilonim with your wife. Where are you going to be in your Shabbos? What are you going to do in those Shabbatot? Tell me. Why you got that Shabbat for? If not for your wife and kids and family to sit together, to sing Shirei Shabbat, and to go to the shul together, and to be happy. For what Bor Olam gave you the Shabbos? If not to enjoy the Shabbos. So you're going to be a loner, a lonely guy in yeshiva that is suffering all day long, and your wife going to hate you for your divorce. She gonna, your ex gonna put her ex on you for the rest of your life. What? This is the will of Hashem. So in that moment of free choice, you have to show that you're choosing Hashem. Uvacharta b'chaim. Barolam didn't say uvacharta b'Torah, uvacharta b'halacha. You choose the halacha. You choose the psak. Barolam said choose life. Life. What it means life? Life, it's a will. פותח את ידך ומסביע לכל חי רצון. בורא עולם is giving the life, it's a will. If you have a will, you have a life. If your will died, means that you're a dead person. You're not alive. If you don't want to progress, to achieve things, you're dead. You're dead. But if you want, you're alive. It gives you the power to do something else and another thing and another thing. You're alive. Why? Because you have a will. So you need to choose life. You need to choose something that's going to bring life into that situation. That you're now in darkness. You don't know what to do. Shabbos, it's so important. Shalom Bayit, it's so important. To raise the kids in a frum way, in a Hasidic way, it's very important. What are you going to do? Now there is the other option. It's a chilonis. I don't know what. To eat kosher, not to eat kosher. Situations. To go for 2 months to Chicago. And to, who knows? But you need to choose life. Bro Olam is telling you, you need to choose life. And when it's coming, that moment, when you lack of wisdom, when you don't know what the truth is, when you know what the truth is, this is the time that you don't choose. You're just going by counting your knowledge, and you're not choosing nothing. You're choosing when you lack of wisdom. And this is where Bore Olam is checking you. This is when you can gain a lot more in those darkness. And in those situations, the only solution is to scream to Hashem Yitbarach. To scream to Hashem Yitbarach. To scream to Hashem Yitbarach, Bore Olam, I want you. And then if you're going to do that and you're going to choose, you're going to choose right. For sure you're going to choose right. If you're trying, and even if you've done the thing that it's by logic look wrong, you break Shabbos, you're not keeping Tarat HaMishpacha, you're doing awful things, you're sending your son to a Chiloni school, you're going to live for 2 years in a place that there is no Bet Knesset in. I don't know what. You're doing something weird, but you're doing it for Hashem Yitbarach for sure. You have to know for sure that Bore Olam is saving you. People that are saying, but I don't know what's going to be. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe that decision that I'm going to choose is going to be the wrong decision. It's only because you're not counting on Hashem. You don't have faith in Hashem. Faith in Hashem Yitbarach is that you know that Hashem never leaves you. Never. Even if you're finding yourself in a discotheque, in pub, dating, I don't know what. Hashem doesn't leave you. Never ever. From where HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out? From heaven? He took you out from hell. He took you out from all of those horrible places. So if He took you out from Egypt, from 49 gates of Tumah, from 50 gates of Tumah that we have in this generation, and He already took you out from there, why are you going to leave you? In which situation you can blame Him, Bore Olam, that He's going to leave you if you're going to sin? All of the waking up that you feel with your tshuva, and Bore Olam is taking you to that journey, it's based on the fact that you're a tzaddik. It's only from the real huge merciness of Hashem Yitbarach. So all of your tshuva, all of your progress, we're counting on the mercy of Hashem Yitbarach. So now He's going to drop you because you started to sin. It's imagination of Yetzer Hara. It's all Lashon Hara. It's all imagination on Hashem Yitbarach that He's going to drop you. Maybe Hashem won't be with me. Hashem never left you. Hashem never going to leave you. And on that you have to count when you're choosing a darkness. When you're choosing in situations that are awkward, that are weird, that you don't know what to do. Yeshiva, Shiur of Arav, to come to the yeshiva, to come to Bekneset, to important things. Standing against of very weird things, very awkward situations. You have to choose. You have to choose, and I'm telling you, you're going to choose by your inner will. This is what that's going to reveal when you're going to choose. So we need to work on our will. How are we going to work on our will? That in those situations we're going to choose the right thing that we need to choose? By the Itbodedut. By asking from Bore Olam, let me want you. Let me want the Torah Kedosha. Let me want the truth. Like the David HaMelech, that he was such a righteous man. And until the end of his life, he was asking and screaming to Hashem Yitbarach, Adricheni ba'amitecha, Lamdeni chukecha, teach me your rules, take me on your path. Why? David HaMelech, every night in Chatzot when he was waking up, he was learning what the Tana, like Rabbi Meir and like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon were learning in 100 years. They're learning it in 100 years, and David HaMelech learning it in one night. This is the Gemara is saying. David HaMelech, in one night, he was learning what that Talmid Chacham, they're saying, Atid Lechadesh. That even a huge Tana like Rabbi Akiva gonna learn in 100 years. So you, David HaMelech, you know everything. You found Jerusalem, you found the place of Beit HaMikdash, you're the king of Am Israel, you have Ruach HaKodesh, everything. And you're screaming to Hashem Yitbarach that's going to save you from your Yetzer Hara, and that's going to... Yes, because it's the truth. If you have the wisdom and if you don't have the wisdom. Borei Olam, you don't know. You never... A person... Lamavet Otzaot. Only after death you know the consequences, the result of your life. Rabbi Yochanan was crying on his deathbed. They asked him, why are you crying? He said, there is a straight path in front of the person, v'achrita achrit mavet, and in the end of it, he can find death. Means, it looked like that I was a tzaddik all of my life, but who knows? Maybe I was making Hashem angry on that, on something. Maybe I insult someone without intention. Kol ha-ma'aliv, kol ha-mevazeh haveru barabim, a person that is insulting a person in public in front of people, en lo chelek la'olam haba, he doesn't have a share in the world to come, part of the world to come. What are we gonna do? How you know what's gonna be with you? As Baruch Hashem, we have the promise from Rabbeinu, but still we don't know how long it's gonna take until Rabbeinu gonna take us out from hell. He said he's gonna take us out, but when? No one said when. Rabbeinu never said when. So we have to count on the mercy of Hashem Yitbarach. And Rav Shalom said, what it means to count on the mercy of Hashem Yitbarach? It's to know that Hashem, He's got enough mercy, enough love for you, for each and every one of us, that it's enough to take you out from everything. From everything. On that we're trusting. That Hashem Yitbarach has got such, Rachamecha Rabim Hashem, huge mercy, that for sure it's enough for you. And for people that are a lot worse than you. On that we're trusting. When you're trusting on Hashem, when you count on Hashem, Rav Shalom said that in Sukkot. He said, why when a tzaddik is saying a decree, he's saying a decision, so it's happening. Why? What the tzaddik's got that is different from the other people, from the public, that when they're davening, it's not happening so fast. But when the tzaddik is saying, you're going to have a boy, it's happening. When the tzaddik is saying, you're going to have a house in Jerusalem, you're getting it. What is different in that tzaddik? So he said, that the tzaddik knows that he doesn't need to convince Hashem Yitbarach to give that thing. The tzaddik, he knows that Borei Olam wants to give that. Just that you need to create vessels. So he's davening. Every word of the tefillah, it's a box, it's an ark, it's a vessel that contains the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's just putting vessels. Shalom Aleichem. He's just putting vessels. The tzaddik, he knows that he doesn't need to convince Hashem. He's just putting those vessels. He knows the Borei Olam is bringing down the His kindness. He created the world to reveal His kindness. So now that someone needs help, Borei Olam going to stop His kindness? Chas v'shalom. This is the time that He's going to reveal His kindness. So why He haven't yet? Because He wants people to daven. He wants us to daven. He wants to reveal His kingdom. He wants to reveal His honor. He wants it to be a miracle. In this holiday, Avrech from Chutz Shel Chesed, that left the yeshiva a few years ago, but still in touch with the Rav and everyone, he's teaching in a different place, he lives in Beit Shemesh. After 20 years of marriage, they got a boy, Ben Zachar. 20 years without boys. What? 25? 24? 24. It's a machloket. It's a machloket. Over 20 years of marriage. He was at Rav Berland. Rav Berland told him, you're going to have boys. He went to another tzaddik that I won't mention his name. That tzaddik said, and it's a real tzaddik, it's an important real tzaddik, and that tzaddik said to a person that brought that person to him, he told him after, I don't know why Rav Berland told him that he's going to have boys. No chance. Not him, not his wife. No chance that they're going to have boys.
So he has girls?
No, nothing.
No children.
No children at all.
He's being generic.
He said it cannot be. after over 20 years, they made the Brit Milah in Sukkot. It's amazing.
Beitar,
he lives in Beitar.
Ken.
Amazing.
23 years.
What he said in his said the drasha. He said his wife, she's 52.
Wow.
It's not a joke.
He's about the same age.
It's not a joke.
It's a
reality.
Thing.
He said in his drasha, he said the Divrei Torah after the Brit. He said, the success of a Jew, it's the success of Hashem Yitbarach. If a Jew fail, it means that Hashem failed. So you should know that Borei Olam, he wants to succeed. He wants your success. And if you are not doing it, it means that you give up. If you're not going to give up, if you're just going to keep on davening and not going to drop your will, you're going to get it. Even when you're going to be 52, it doesn't matter. I promise you, that woman, it's an amazing thing. That woman, she wrote a book. Maybe 6-7 years ago, she wrote a book and she called it first volume, a book with two volumes. And on the first one, she wrote Hazorim Bedim'a, the one that are planting with tears. And she wrote inside that the second book gonna be written Berinaik Tzoru. They're gonna harvest. They're gonna collect in joy, in happiness. She planned to write those two books from the beginning. And she wrote the first book on her suffering. On her situations of going to doctors and suffering so much and crying and who knows what they went through in those 20, 25 years. I asked him, he came to the Hakafot Shniot in the yeshiva, I told him, now we're going to see the second volume. He told me, in 1 year it's going to come out. It's amazing. You see the faith of people, it brings fruits.
Every
So what now you're going to say? No, they're tzaddikim. You're going to blame the tzaddikim all of the time on your troubles. What? If you're going to choose life, you're going to have that also. The miracles that you need. You need to get married. You need to buy a house. You need to come closer to the yeshiva. You need to go to Uman. You need your wife to wear a kisui rosh, head cover. Everything. To go to the mikveh. Everything. Your kid's going to be tzaddikim, everything. There was one person that came to, I think it was the Chozeh Milublin, or that it was the Noam Elimelech. He came to him, I think it was the Noam Elimelech. A person came, and when they said that verse, that those words, Vezakeni legadel banim uvne banim, oskim batorah b'mitzvot, they were singing it. So that person fainted, because that was his prayer. After 17 or 20 years, his son came. And when his son came, it's a very famous tzaddik, I don't remember his name. So when he was looking at him, the Noam Elimelech, in the moment that he saw him, he said with the father that fainting when he's singing Vezakeni legadel banim tzadikim, that he's fainting when he's singing, for sure that his son going to be like that. A real tzaddik, that it's coming from your prayers. How you want your kids to be tzadikim if you're not davening on them? How? On what you counting? On what? On what? You see that the world is very dangerous. Rabbeinu promised that the person that's going to bring his kid before of age of 7 to Uman, Rabbeinu promised that he's going to guard that boy, going to guard on him, that no damage is going to happen to him, that he's going to be Shomer HaBrit. And a lot of Breslevers came with their sons before of age of 7, and their sons went off the way. And they came to Rabbi Lev Yitzchak Bender, and they asked him, Rabbeinu promised that the kids that's going to come to Uman before of the age of 7, and Rabbeinu said that he's going to watch them. Nothing bad going to happen to them. Look at his son. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender explained, and he said, the promise of Rabbeinu wasn't including bad friends. If your son, he's got bad friends, friends that are not good, chaverim lo tovim, the promise of Rabbeinu is not guarding that situation also. So you see that even Rabbeinu cannot protect your son from bad friends. So what are you going to do? Hide him in the house and create a jail for your son. All of his life going to be in prison. For sure that he's going to escape one day. You cannot watch that. they asked the Rav Ovadia Yosef, how he achieved that all of his sons are such huge rabbis that are poskim and gdolei ador. He said, you don't know how many tears I poured down on them. I pulled down on them. How many tears? How many crying I had on them? Rabbi Shmuel Shapira, that his kids, all of his kids, are real, real tzaddikim. You can see them in the shul, in Breslev shul. You can see them, Rabbi Shimon Shapira and Elatov, and also the grandsons, mamash. You can see very, very gentle and wise and nice and tzaddikim, watching their eyes and real tzaddikim. The kid, the zera of Rabbi Shmuel Shapira, they ask him, how can it be that all of your sons are such a tzaddikim? He said, every day I was doing one complete hour of itbodedut on my kids. Every day. On his kids. No, Jen, on all of his kids. 1 hour a day. Yagata umatzata ta'amin. If you put an effort on that thing, and then you can find, and you're finding it, then you should believe. Means that if you, lo yagata, you haven't put the effort, and then you find, don't believe, it's not the truth. Now your kid, he's nice, he's polite, he's, you know, davening on him, forget it. Maybe you're going to have a chance, but it's a chance. If you're not davening on him, who said that it's going to work? The fact that he's smiling, so he's got a good nature. But what are you going to know? What's going to happen in school, after school? Hasidim, you send your son to a small yeshiva, you know what's happened in a small yeshiva, but you don't want to know. Internet and computers and everything and conversations and talking into the night and going out and, it's horrible. Horrible. A person from Abrichim from the yeshiva went to do Afatzah in Tel Aviv. And he's a brave one. He's going to the hardest places. And suddenly in the entrance to a discotheque, he sees Haredim, couples, zugot, friends. With those wigs and everything, dressed up to club in Thursday. Not in Shabbat. They're not breaking Shabbat. In Yom Chamishi, it's okay. Thursdays, it's okay. He came to them, to the line, what are you doing here? They were embarrassed. Say, hey, you need those books more than the Chilonim. What do you know? Even in the Shidduch, you marry your son, you know who you're going to marry to? Maybe his wife, she's going to have such a weird ideas. The daughter of Arav went divorced. What you can tell? What you can know? The only security that you have, the only thing that you have is prayers. This is it. Only to pray and to pray and to pray. You want your son to succeed? Daven on him. If you're davening on him, you're bonding him to Hashem Yitbarach. If you're not davening on him, what? On what? Based on your zchuyot? Which? Tell me. I want to count on them also. Rabbeinu said that he couldn't count on his zchut avot. That he had such a thing that he couldn't count. And who is his father? Habaal Shem Tov and David HaMelech. There is things that are huge. You want your son to be a righteous man, a real tzaddik. You know what you're asking? You're not asking for a small thing. You want to succeed. You want to build a house, to have a family in Eretz Israel, in Jerusalem, close to the yeshiva, to be part of a group that's serving Hashem Yitbarach in Sirut Nefesh. Great! You're not asking for a small thing at all. So it costs. And they let you pay with words, and not with money, and not with blood. And we should take it. To stand and to daven on everything. This is the main advice. Always the main advice. And also on that thing that we said. How are you going to choose? Your reality is going to reveal when you're going to choose. If you have desire for food, you're going to choose food. If you have desire to sleep, you're going to choose sleep. But if your will to serve Hashem is stronger than your lusts and desires, so you're going to choose Hashem. So if you see now that your will is low, what you have to do? Only to scream on that to Hashem. And on that we can say what we said, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mirat shamayim. Only on that, if you're going to daven, for sure that you're going to get it. For sure. And if a person has yirat shamayim, what he needs more? You have yirat shamayim, you have everything. Ezehu ashir, asamach bechelko. Who is a rich person? The one that is happy with his share. You're going to be happy. You're going to have yirat shamayim, you're going to be happy. This is what you're going to be, so. You don't need to have kids to be happy with them. You need to be happy. Now you have kids, you're going to be happy with your kids. A tzaddik, he doesn't have kids and he's happy. They never seen the Rav Mordechai Sharabi or Rabbi Milubavitch crying on the fact that they didn't have boys. Forget it. Every time that a woman was coming to Rav Mordechai Sharabi and asking for boys, he was going to the Rabbanit Leah and telling her, Rabbanit, if maybe we have another boy in the bank of souls in heaven, are you ready to give up on that neshama to give that son to that poor woman? And she always said yes. And every bracha that Rav Mordechai Sharabi said was happening. Every bracha. Rav Shalom said that everything that Rav Mordechai and he never had boys, never had kids. He gave them all. He gave his neshamot. And he never cried on that. And the Rabbanit also never cried on that. They were dancing, they were happy in the Yeshuot, in the salvation. Rabbi Milabavitch, he was crying, his wife was crying on the fact that they didn't have boys. All of the world is their kids. Half of the world is their kids. They saved half of Am Israel. What can you say? They saved half of Am Israel. What can you say? The tzaddikim, they see Hashem. We need to go on that path to see Hashem. Through all of those curtains, through all of the problems, through all of our yetzer hara, talking and talking and talking to you, lashon hara. It's lashon hara. Just recognize it's yetzer hara. Rabbeinu said, bad thoughts, it's yetzer hara. Good thoughts, it's yetzer tov. It's the tzaddik. It's your neshama talking to you. It's your neshama. If you have good thoughts? Good thoughts, it's a will to serve Hashem. It doesn't mean to wake up at 5 a.m. or 4 or 3. It doesn't mean to davenet. It doesn't mean to come to the kollel. It doesn't mean all of that. It means that you want to serve Hashem. If you want to serve Hashem, even if now because that you want to serve Hashem, you're going to work as I don't know what, and you're happy because you know that by that you're going to serve Hashem, it means that you made it. That you've done the right thing. There is people that are learning in kollel, in yeshivot, for 30, 40, 50, 70 years, are not achieving nothing. Only punishment they're going to have after 70 years of limud Torah. They're not achieving nothing. They're learning for their honor, for their success. They're not thinking about Hashem Yitbarach even. Not in the morning when they wake up to davenet, not in mincha when they're doing vidui, nothing. They don't do tshuva. How are they going to get gain without humility? Without humility, how you can get gain? If you think that you're something, how you can get gain? The gain is only when you understand that Hashem is the king. If Hashem is the king, so everyone are more important than me. It's His kids, it's His sons. Why created me? And I'm such a sinner. How many things I've done in my life? Now I can say, how can I be so rude to say that I'm better than someone else? I know what I've done. How can I say that if I know what I've done, if I remember the things that I was doing since I was a kid? How can I be better than someone else? How can I find that rudeness, chutzpah, to think that I'm better than someone else? And now when you understand that you're low, this is where you can get closer to Hashem Yitbarach. Because Hashem Yitbarach, and Omer is saying, Ani Yeshkon Edaka, I'm going to be the one with the one that is low, with the lowest one. Am Israel, we're the lowest nation. The lowest nation. Mount Sinai, it's the lowest mountain. Eretz Israel, it's so small. And it's so great. And Am Israel are so huge. Because of the spiritual bonding. Not because of our beauty, not because of our midot, not because of nothing. You can see how we can behave. Each and every one of us. You don't need to look at the street. Look at the mirror. How can a Jew act and react? It can be horrible. Not because of that you are the chosen one. Because of your neshama. That your neshama is a neshama elokit. And you don't have no connection to that decision that Boreh Olam decided to give you that neshama. It's not because of nothing that you've done. You haven't done nothing. It's because of your fathers. They done something. So you need to thank them. But to understand that it's a free gift. It's a present that we got. And we have to keep on that present. Not to drop it. How are we going to do that? With prayers, we're going to beg, Boreh Olam, please. That tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up the same. That I'm going to want to make Netilat Yadayim, to do Netilat Yadayim. That I'm going to want to go to the shul, that I'm going to want to go to the mikveh. I was waking up in Hoshana Rabbah, I told that to a few of the guys that I was talking to them. I woke up in Hoshana Rabbah at 4 a.m., very happy. It was night outside, I could come to the yeshiva, very happy. to daven nets with the yeshiva or shana rabba. My son, he didn't feel so good, so I woke up, he was crying, I woke up, he was okay, he went back to sleep. I went down to the living room, I'm looking, we have a huge aquarium, a tank, water tank of fish.
Aquarium.
I'm looking, all of the water are white. The fish are drowning. Instead that I'm going to go to scream Hoshana, they're screaming, Hoshana, save us, save us. One of my kids took a half of a bottle of lemon juice and he let them drink at night. And all of that night, b'chag nidonin al ha'mayim, in the holiday, we're being judged on the water. So we had our kaparat avonot. From 4:30 in the morning until 9:30, I was Hoshana. I was saving the fish out from the water, putting them in a bucket with clear water. Until 9:30, we were taken out. You cannot let them drown and go to scream Hoshana to Hashem, right? It's not logic. To let them drown and to scream Hoshana. No, you cannot.
They must have tremendous merit to survive.
So, they had. Few of them. Until 9:30. When I went out from the house, 9:30, all very wet and
citrusy.
Smelly. I went to the mikveh. I went to the mikveh. I was davening all of the way. Bura Olam, let me see that it's all mercy. All of the yeshiva now in Musaf, finishing Musaf, Baruch Hashem, enjoying their life, Baruch Hashem. And I'm going to the mikveh. I'm walking, I'm getting to the mikveh, I'm putting my finger, there is that electronic getting inside, to the, and I see that I don't have I cannot get inside. I paid until the middle of the holiday, and I cannot get inside to the mikveh. So I kept on davening, Barola, help me. 25 minutes I was waiting outside that someone going to help me. People didn't believe me that I'm going to pay after the holiday. They said, no, I cannot help you. I need to come again. I need this and that. And I'm standing, Bara Olam, b'chag nidonin al ha'mayim, they're judging us on the water. So, you think that I failed? I wasn't failed. I wasn't davening in the minyan. In that day, I was davening in Hoshana Rabbah. I was davening alone in my house. I was doing the Hoshanot. I was doing everything alone. I was doing the Chavit Chavit Velo Barich with the Aravot alone, without the Yeshiva. And I wanted to do it in the Minyan, I wanted to do it in the Yeshiva. I want it. This is my success. Because I know that I want it. And I know that I was working hard to stay happy and to hold my happiness. And I know that I made it. And it all was Kapara and it's a Tikkun and I don't have questions on that. I'm happy, Bar Olam, he knows why. And this is it. And this is where I'm dropping it. And I'm not going to think about it. This is it. Bar Olam wants that. And I want it also. This is what Bar Olam wants. And you continue. If we're going to keep on thinking with our wisdom, if it was worth something, so it's okay. But it's not working. You see how many times we failed counting on our own wisdom. So we're throwing our wisdoms and counting on Hashem. Yes. Yes, this is what Hashem wants. When you have a free choice, when you don't have wisdom. Azay koach habchira al mekomo, then the power of free choice is on his place. Ki yesh biyado koach libchor ben hachayim o hipucho. Because over there, when we don't have that knowledge, this is the time that we can choose between life or the opposite direction. Chas v'shalom. Thank you very much. Rabbi Sai. Thank you.
Sometimes some people, I think everybody, has to make a decision not to read.